Hi, I'm Chelsea Clinton, host of the podcast In Fact, where we look at why public health matters, especially now. COVID-19 isn't the only public health crisis we faced. It's not even the only one we're facing right now. What can we learn from other public health issues, and how do we do better? Each week on In Fact, I sit down with experts, activists, and surprise guests, from Jonathan Van Ness to DC Mayor Muriel Bowser to Jane Fonda, to talk about some of the most important stories in public health. Listen to In Fact on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while former Phillies field reporter Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Zack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning to the Delaware Valley here at Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino down here in South Philadelphia, where the rubber match between your Philadelphia Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals will take place a mere few steps away from where we're broadcasting right now. Thank you for joining us again here this Sunday morning, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley, or download the iHeartRadio app and you can listen to us anywhere worldwide. I'm Chris Sack from Green Legion Radio, and I am happy to say this now. I'm no longer saying former Phillies broadcaster or former Phillies field reporter, slash you need to change our intro. Phillies broadcaster once again, Greg Murphy. Murph, what's up, buddy?
It's good to be here, Sack. And yeah, that sounds nice.
It's got a great ring to it.
It does have a good ring
to it. Ring the bell, baby.
Let's hope that it stays that way. Yeah, good to be back with the Phillies organization. Good to be back on the Phillies radio network. But very good to be back with you and the Baseball Brunch crew. Looking forward to talking Phillies today. And, you know, back home, so the vibes are a little different. It's, you know, one good game, one bad game so far against the Cardinals, but we'll take it.
Unless Matt Moore's pitching. That's where the bad vibes start to come in.
Yeah, he struggled a bit. I'm sure we're going to get into that coming up later in the show. But you know what? It's Aaron Nola Day.
Yes,
and for me, that's a happy day. I like that.
And we were talking about this before we came on the air. Today is the first time since September 4th, 2019, that Aaron Nola will start a game against a non-AL East or NL East opponent.
Yeah.
I know last year we were in a pandemic, Murph, but that's a pretty unbelievable statistic.
It really is. And from a baseball standpoint, that really means something. I mean, look, baseball is a sport of repetition. Baseball is a sport of adjustments. Pitchers adjust to hitters. Hitters adjust to pitchers. And when you're seeing the same people over and over again, you know, you're able to kind of get locked in on what they're trying to do to you, and then the other guy's got to react and do that. So I do think that we saw Aaron Nola fall into that trap a little bit. You're seeing the Braves or the Marlins or the Mets time after time, all last season, to start this season. And I do think he got into a little bit of a rut. So I said to you off the air, and I'll say to the folks listening at home, today is a big day for Aaron Nola. I will be very surprised if he doesn't pitch very well against the Cardinals, but I'll also be a little concerned if he doesn't pitch well against the Cardinals, because to this point, I've been able to say, all right, well, here's what I think's happening with Aaron Nola, and I think the guys are getting used to him. The Cardinals haven't seen him in a long time. Sure, they're going to watch him on tape. They're going to do all that. But it's a different when you get into the batter's box and you're trying to figure out what's this guy trying to do against me. And so Aaron's a master at that. So I expect good things out of him today.
Awesome. And I look forward to this as well every single week, Murph, as do our listeners. We have another ticket giveaway.
Sure do.
Trivia question today. Murph, you want to go ahead and take this one for me?
I would be happy to. All right, we're giving away four tickets to Hatfield Dollar Dog Night, Woo! Which is always fun. It's Monday, May 3rd at 7:05 against the Milwaukee Brewers. And all you have to do is answer the trivia question by following the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel or the Green Legion page on Facebook or Twitter. And you put the answer there. Our handle is at Green Legion, by the way. Put the answer there. And if you're the first one to get the answer, you will win those tickets for May the 3rd at 7:05 against the Brewers. So here's the question. On July 25th, 2015, Cole Hamels threw the 12th no-hitter in Phillies history in what would wind up being his last start in a Phillies uniform. I'm sure folks remember that. I certainly do. One of my best memories of being the field reporter down there with Cole after that game.
Me too. I was there in attendance.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the question is, who was the opposing pitcher for the Cubs that day at Wrigley Field, who also pitched well that day? Opposing pitcher pitching for the Cubs that day when Cole Hamels threw his no-hitter. That's the trivia question. Go to the Green Legion YouTube channel or the Green Legion page on Facebook or on Twitter at Green Legion. Give us the answer. If you're first, we'll have you getting four tickets headed out to the Milwaukee Brewers game on May the 3rd, and we'll give that answer in the second block of the show tonight.
Yes, and then we have Hatfield Dollar Dog Night, which is a de facto college night. Remember those back in,
yes, you know,
in the lean years when things were just starting out? I remember I went to one of those college nights, Murph, and it was against the Washington Nationals, and Tim Redding was pitching that night for the Nationals against Cole Hamels, and we lost that game 1-0. It was a wall scraper home run by Ryan Zimmerman, and we were in the 300 levels, probably about 305, 306, and there was a guy in a David Wright jersey. What the hell he was doing there? And he starts to antagonize the crowd, and then all of a sudden he starts getting pelted with dollar hot dogs, popcorn. Everything was flying at this guy from every different angle. One of those, you know, great memories that I have over at the ballpark. So we're going to now go right into a week in review. This is what we like to call out of the box, and I can't wait until I see what Kyle works up for me over here as far as a sounder for out of the box. It's going to be fantastic, like everything else that he does. Instant Replay was our friend last Sunday night against the Braves. You know, this is our first time talking about it, Murph. I know we were texting during the week, you know, about certain things that were going on with the team, more so about what the hell was going on in Queens. But we'll touch base on that real fast coming up here. But I'm looking at your thought on that play. I know what Alec Bohm said about it. I know that the run counted. Do you think that he touched home plate? And, you know, what's your thought on that?
Well, you know, I think it was so interesting to me about, you know, how that became such a big national story in baseball. I mean, you're talking about one game in April, two divisional teams that are going to see each other.
That was a great game.
It was a great game. But the idea that, that, you know, whether he was safe or out is going to determine the rest of the season, you know, it just seemed like I was surprised at what a big deal it was nationally. So saying that, did Alec Bohm touch the plate? No, I don't think he probably did at this point. When I first saw the replay, I thought, okay, yeah, that toe got on. But then you saw it over and over and over again, and he probably did not touch home plate. Darno did a nice job of you know, kind of pushing his leg back and off the plate. So, but hey, that's baseball, and many, many games over the years have ended on controversial calls. I mean, the Mets had one the week before.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I was laughing. I was like, we were complaining about instant replay, and then I think it came into our favor.
Yeah, so, and that's what happens. They all kind of work out. And here's what I would say. Definitively, though, if you're going to have instant replay, then that's the moment where you need to get it right. And I don't think they got it right. It helped the Phils, and we'll take it. But I'm of the opinion, if you can't get it right, get rid of replay.
Correct.
I have no problem with the human element of Major League Baseball when the umpires make mistakes. It's part of it. It's been part of it for 100-plus years. So if you're going to tell me we do instant replay so that we make sure we get the big calls right, well, then get the big calls right.
It was, and like I said, you know, Murph, while you were talking at the beginning there, it was a phenomenal game. It was a back and forth affair. There was plenty of offense to go around that night. It was very enjoyable, and you know, it's unfortunate that people want to take a look at that game and go, well, that's exactly, you know, what happened to end it, but. You know, but hey, we got the win. We didn't get swept in Atlanta, so then we went on to Queens. Okay, and we had some rough patches there in Queens for a few days.
So let's take a quick break and
no. hold on, we got a live read to do first.
No, you're right. Queens was forgettable.
So sure. So we had two rainouts, but one of them, I honestly believe benefited the hell out of
doubt.
Us. You know, Jacob DeGrom. We didn't have to face him on Thursday, and at this rate, I think the Mets are going to play probably 70 games this season, because not only did they have two rainouts against us, they had a COVID outbreak against the Nationals, then they go to Colorado and they have to deal with snow this past Friday. But it was a good thing for us that we avoided Jacob deGrom with the way that our bats were going through the first few games of that series. A blown save by Neris. We were able to take the lead in game one of the doubleheader. So he blew that game. Unfortunate, going into that second part of the doubleheader. Would have loved to have gotten that first game.
Sure.
Especially with Aaron Nola coming on the back end. And then I look at it like this. We were just talking about Aaron Nola a little bit. Today is a Nola day down here in South Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park. The Mets lineup, his first two go-arounds with the Mets lineup, have not been successful. Now, he pitched a little bit better the second time around against the Mets. 5 innings pitched, 7 hits, 3 earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, 92 pitches thrown. But he threw a ton of pitches through the first few innings. And then what really stood out to me, Murph, about that was he had one out, and he had runners on second and third, and he had the 8-hole hitter, Nito, and he had Stroman, the pitcher, coming up.
Yeah.
And first pitch, he hits Nito to load the bases, and then Stroman comes up, strikes out, as any pitcher should, not named Zach Wheeler. So he strikes out, and then, we get into the top of the order, and Brandon Nimmo is batting .468 for the season, as of that at bat. And
about 800 against the Phillies.
Pretty much. Yeah. And then he gets a hit. Drives in 2 more runs, and at that point, with the way Stroman was pitching, and Diaz was going to come in to the 7th inning because only 7 innings and doubleheader sure. games, you knew that game was pretty much on ice once those 2 runs were scored. So, thoughts on those on the doubleheader from Tuesday, Murph?
Very uncharacteristic of Aaron Nola in that big situation to hit a batter. I mean, get hit, okay.
And you could tell he was frustrated.
Yeah, because obviously it's not what he's trying to do, but what we love about Aaron Nola is that pinpoint command that he has more often than not. But to let a pitch get that far away from you in a situation like that is un-Nola like. It really is. So hopefully he got that one out of his system early in the season, and we're not going to see a whole lot of that going forward. The defense didn't help him in that game as well, but there's a lot of things you can look at. Aaron Nola needs to be better, and I do think, as we talked about, seeing a different lineup is going to help him today. But look, the Phils need to be better, and they certainly need to be better on the road. We have seen, less than stellar defense straight across on that road trip. The bats have not really gotten themselves together quite yet, and and the starting pitching that was so good back here at Citizens Bank Park in week number one was just kind of average at best in their second starts. And so, somehow the Phils are going to have to figure out how to win on the road. And we're going to see them head out of Citizens Bank midway through next week, and they're going to go back on the road. I think they're headed to Colorado at that point. But, win at home, continue to do what you're doing in Citizens Bank, but figure something out on the road. They've got to, for sure. And they got to do it quickly.
Right. And then the final game, because it was supposed to be a 4-game series against the Mets, but the final game, man, the struggles against Randy Johnson. No, I'm sorry. Not I would have thought Randy Johnson was pitching. David Peterson.
Yeah.
We destroyed him the week prior in his first start of the season. And then he comes out there and he strikes us out 10 times.
Yep.
And then collectively, between 2 out of 3 games, we strike out collectively 14 times in each game. The game against Stroman, we only struck out 3 times in that game. Great. But good things happen, as we saw on Friday night, Murph. Good things happen when you put the ball in play.
Yeah.
And when you're striking out, you're not putting the ball in play. The inconsistencies of the lineup, the way I'm looking at some of these guys trying to hit in those few games, everybody's trying to pull everything. Even Rhys Hoskins got away from what made him successful in the first week of the season, where he was utilizing all fields. Mm-hmm. It just felt like they, for those few games, they looked like they were starting to get back into pull happy mode. From Rhys to McCutchen to Harper, what did you see in those few games? Because 28 strikeouts between 2 games is just way too much.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. I think that's exactly what we're seeing, and that's what it's a head scratcher. It's hard to understand why the approach offensively seems to be different when this team is on the road as opposed to when they're here at Citizens Bank Park. That first week of the season, guys like Rhys Hoskins and Bryce and Gene Segura, and they're using the whole field, they're putting the ball in play, they're striking out less, and then they head out on the road and right away strikeouts start to become an issue. And as you kind of laid out, each game they're striking out double digits. You can't win games when you're striking out that many times. Joe Girardi was asked about it, I think, after, you know, game two or three of the Mets series, and he said, yeah, it's something we're talking about. It's not like these guys don't understand that. They do understand that. And, you know, kudos to David Peterson for doing whatever he did to adjust to the Phillies lineup,
yep,
because that's what it's all about. You adjust and you try and be better, and he was. But, yeah, this team needs to be better. And then they get back home, and we saw on Friday night, they kind of started to get back to that approach of, and even yesterday's loss, you know, Rhys Hoskins, three hits, one the other way. He looked like a different hitter back here at Citizens Bank. So, it's frustrating because you know this team offensively is better than what they've been doing, and you want to see that on a more consistent basis. You know, I'm going to talk to Charlie Manuel today on the pregame show, and we always go back to what Charlie says. April's not hitting season, you know? April's the season you just got to hang in there and hope that in May and June the bats get hot. And I think they will for this team. My biggest concern, the strikeouts are a concern, but my biggest concern is figure out a way to win on the road. And there's just, it's just not that different of a game on the road. You got to figure it out.
Right. And now I was going to touch on the Bryce Harper's back stiffness from Saturday, but we're not going to delve into that because he's back in the lineup
today.
Back in the three holes. So you can expect Bryce Harper this afternoon when you guys head over to the ballpark at Citizens Bank Park. A couple quick hits here because we only have a few minutes left in the segment, and stay tuned for the second segment as we are welcoming in our first guest to the show. Phillies television broadcaster Tom McCarthy is going to join us.
So make I know sure that
you
guy. Got,
yeah, I know you know that guy, and that's the only reason why we have him on the show.
yeah, he owes me money. I told him, you know, we're even after this.
Awesome. So just a couple quick hits here before we jump into break. Moniak to the big club. Haseley's now on the restricted list. Murph, I know you're down there at the ballpark. You're around, you know, you're not around the team like you used to be, you know, between COVID and, you know, you're on the radio side of things now. But he goes on the restricted list due to personal reasons. None of us were exactly happy with the center field position before he went on the restricted list. But, you know, between him and Roman Quinn. But really, I hope everything is okay with him. I wish him all the best. I hope to see him back soon in the Phillies clubhouse. Do you have any idea, Murph, about maybe what's going on with Adam Haseley and why he has chosen to step away from the team at this time?
No, I really don't. And I've talked to a couple of people, and you know, within the organization, I'm sure there are some folks that know exactly why Adam made the decision he made. I don't, and, you know, all I can say is I've gotten to know Adam over the last couple of years and, you know, away from baseball, and he's a terrific young man and a really, you know, one of those guys that you pull for because he's just such a good guy away from the ballpark. So when you hear something like that, you know, you have that immediate concern. You hope that everything's okay with the family. You hope everything's okay with him personally. You know, I hope he's back quickly. I hope he's able to get things back to where he needs it to be so that he can rejoin the club. He wasn't playing well, and neither is Roman, as you mentioned. Center field has been a question mark. At this point, we turn to Mickey Moniak and we say, all right, young man, here's a chance for you to... you know, these were at-bats that he wasn't going to get if Haseley and Quinn were healthy and playing well. So the Phillies are saying, look, we need a spark. Here's a young guy, a former number one pick, number one overall. Come on up and show us what you can do. And it's, you know, I hope Moniak takes that and says to himself, this is it. This is my opportunity. I need to go out there, be confident, and kind of run with this thing because I've gotten this chance. And I think he will. You know, Moniak is a different... you know, physically, he's a different player than he was a year and a half ago, 2 years.
Yeah.
If you stand next to Mickey Moniak, you know, I interviewed Mickey 3-4 years ago, you know, in spring training, and he wasn't a whole lot bigger than me and in terms of stature and you know, in terms of strength, which is not saying much, let me tell you. You look at Mickey now, he looks like a very, very powerful young man. He's 22 years old. You know, you got to remember, he was drafted at 17 and a half or whatever. He's changed his body. He's changed his focus. And, you know, I was listening to Charlie and Ruben Amaro talk about Mickey yesterday, and they're both still very high on him. They think that he can be a good player. So, hey, here's his opportunity. it's there for you. You know, taking a run with it. You and I were texting back and forth this week, and you brought up a guy who I love, Kevin Stocker. You know, it's like, wow, remember when Stocker came up in that 93 season? For that very reason. And he ran with that chance and, yep. and you know, became a fan favorite because of it. Maybe Mickey can do the same thing.
You know, being able to reach into the minor league system is all a part of team building. And you know who does it the best in this area?
You're going to tell us.
MCS Construction Services, the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. They supply both resident and commercial contractors, everything to include custom cabinetry. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Ask for your free estimate so you can get started with your MCS Construction Services experience performed with quality and safety. They are licensed and insured and are performing services throughout the Delaware Valley, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and even Maryland. Once again, reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. We'll be right back with Phillies television broadcaster Tom McCarthy on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler right after this.
The 3-2 pitch to Chris Bryant in the air to center field. Herrera going back toward the wall. Does he have it? He reaches down. Did he make the catch? He made the catch! The 13th no-hitter in Philadelphia Phillies franchise history has a little bit of drama right at the end. Cole Hamels, he is back, and his teammates are mobbing him right around the pitcher's mound.
All right, that's, welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We are going to kick it right over to Murph here. It is 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, and WDAS around the rest of the Delaware Valley. Again, we are here down at Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino, and thank you guys for joining us here as we lead our way into the rubber match here between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Philadelphia Phillies, happening mere steps away from us at Citizens Bank Park. Murph, please go ahead and let us know who the trivia answer, what the trivia answer is, and who our winner is.
All right, we're going to talk to Tom McCarthy, the TV voice of the Phillies, in just 1 minute. He made this call. The quick trivia question today: Cole Hamels threw the 12th no-hitter in Phillies history in what would wind up being his last start in a Phillies uniform. Who was the opposing pitcher for the Cubs that day at Wrigley Field? That was that one Jake Arrieta, who we got to know over the next couple of years. Steven Hendricks, you are our winner, and we bring in our guest today here on the program, Baseball Brunch, Tom McCarthy, the voice of the Phillies. Tom, what do you remember about that day? It was a pretty special day in Chicago, was it not?
You know, I remember Murph more than anything else is Odubel's catch at the end, just because it was so erratic and entertaining and so Odubel Herrera, to be quite honest with you. I mean, there were so many other things, you know, that day, but we were anticipating that Cole may not even make that start because we thought there was a chance he was going to get traded even before that. But I think it's Odubel's catch just because it was very much like Odubel Herrera.
Yeah, it was very Odubel, and we've seen that over the years. But, you know, I remember Cole just being so calm, cool, and collected, even after Odubel had made the catch and we were sure that the game was over and it was a no-hitter. He kind of just was taking it all in. And at that moment, we weren't sure, we weren't 100% it was going to be his last start, but it ended up being his last start. T-Mac, it's good to have you with us. We're getting ready for the rubber match of the Cardinals and Phillies down there at Citizens Bank Park today. Not so great last night, and, you know, the Cardinals jumped on them early and got the best of them. But big game today with Aaron Nola back on the hill. We've been talking a little bit about it. You know, he hasn't seen a team outside the NL East for quite some time. It'll be nice to see him kind of match up against these hitters, don't you think?
Yeah, he kind of said that the other day because he's kind of worn down by the Braves and the Mets and all those matchups against the National League East. And, you know, and I think mechanically, Murph, just watching his bullpen the other day, I think you could see what he was trying to do. I think one of the big things he was trying to do is just to kind of get on top of his fastball a little bit more and get on top of his changeup a little bit more because he was so under it on so many different levels that it just kept sailing up in the strike zone. But, yeah, I mean, he's had good numbers against the Cardinals, so I think he's excited about the opportunity to pitch at home but also get a chance to pitch against somebody other than the Mets, the Nationals, or even the Braves.
Yeah.
Hey, T-Mac, this is Chris. Nice to talk to you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it.
Unfortunately, last year for you, T-Mac, you had to call games that involved the Phillies' bullpen, which was historically awful. What are your thoughts on the bullpen so far early in the early going here this season? I've been most impressed by Connor Brogdon. What are your thoughts on the bullpen as a whole and Brogdon individually?
Well, Brogdon's been unbelievable. And I think that I think we anticipated that he would be he would have an effect on this team, but I don't know if we had anticipated him having this kind of an effect on the team. You know, and I think the Archie Bradley injury, it was concerning because it knocked the depth down a little bit for the Phillies. But I think one thing it did do is it was able to elevate Connor into a more spotlighted role these last couple of outings. So the bullpen as a whole is the bullpen. I remember talking to the late, great Real Cormier about this, because he had some up and down seasons when he was with the Phillies. And, you know, I would talk to him about that, and I would ask him, you know, what his thoughts are to try to bounce back. And he said, Tom, one of the things you have to remember, he said, if you're a reliever, and he goes, and it stinks sometimes, but that you are going to be up and down from year to year. You could be up and down from year to year. And I think that's what we had last year with the Phillies bullpen. But I think this bullpen, the way they've structured it, is way better than last year. But Chris, I will admit, when they made the deals last year for Workman, for Phelps, I thought those were good deals. I really
did.
I thought those were going to help the bullpen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But it's been fun to watch so far. A little velocity down there in the bullpen this year, that never hurts.
Definitely nice.
Tom, before the game yesterday, we got the news that Bryce Harper was not going to be in the lineup yesterday. The lineup has come out today. Bryce is back in there. The back issue, lower back stiffness, day-to-day, it's not a huge concern, but whenever you see a guy dealing with, like a nagging injury like that, it's going to raise some red flags. How concerned are you about Bryce Harper going forward?
I'm not concerned because he's in the lineup today, Murph. I think the biggest thing is, you know how much of a detriment it was last year to him in September. I mean, he couldn't throw, he said, more than anything else, but he was able to hit. But he just wasn't the same. So it's the same injury. So that's the only part of it that you get a little concerned with, that it's the same kind of injury. So hopefully they've gotten to the point where they're able to manage it. I know he did a lot in the offseason to try to manage it. And the fact that he's in the lineup today to start, I think that's a really good thing.
Agreed.
Tom, I look at the starting rotation, and I know we've had some early season concerns over Nola over his last couple starts. He's been throwing too many pitches early in the game. He hasn't been getting deep into the games at all. Wheeler just seems like he's been snake bitten a little bit by the big inning, I guess you would say. You know, three runs here, four runs here. But Zach Eflin has really stepped into his role. Friday night, he pitched into the eighth inning, the only Philly starter to pitch into the eighth inning this season. Six hits. No walks, two earned off the two-run shot that he gave up in the top of the eighth. Six strikeouts. He's looked really stellar out there, and I think he's starting to take that next step into potentially leading to being a one or two in the rotation. What are your thoughts on Zach Eflin so far this season?
Chris, I hope so. I mean, as Murph will tell you, this is a kid who it sincerely has gained amazing confidence over the last couple of years. I mean, I always felt like Zach was a guy who had internal confidence, but I think it's now exuding. I think that what happened in 2019, when he decided to kind of push aside the quote unquote analytic part of his game, where they wanted him to throw high fastballs instead of the two seamer down, I think the fact that he bet on himself after that, I think that's where the confidence is coming from. So I do think he has a chance to be that. Now, you have to remember the first couple years, he was very streaky. Pitched really well, then struggled. Pitched really well, then struggled. If we could see him be consistent over the next month and a half, then I think you'll realize that you have something. That's the biggest key. Taking the next step, just maintaining consistency, throwing strikes, being around that strike zone. And I think that what he's done these first few starts has been excellent.
Yeah, Tom, it's a great point, you know, and Zach Eflin's making that transition from being the young player to being, you know, a guy that's been around for a little bit now, and that's what you expect that transition to start happening. So hopefully we see that this year. All right, before we let you go, T-Mac, fans back in the ballpark, which is awesome, and I know you've been asked about that and talked about the atmosphere at Citizens Bank. It's getting better each and every day because we're getting fans down there. But what do you make of this Phillies team, really, over the last couple of seasons, and their struggles on the road? They do seem like a different team when they head out on the road. Can you put your finger on anything about that?
I thought what Joe said the other day, Murph, was something I never really thought about. You know, you and I have both been on the road, even through the pandemic. I've done a lot of basketball games, a lot of football games in the pandemic, and I know we're in a specific city, we are sequestered in the hotel. But that's only for a few days. So these guys, Joe said, he goes, it's tough to get into your routine or a routine when you're on the road because you can't go anywhere. We know that when we used to be on the road, we used to go out to lunch, out to dinner, out to have a few drinks, you know, whatever it was. We weren't set in the room. We could go down to the pool, down to the beach, just kind of break up the day. I do think that, you know, that's part of it the last year and a half. Why it's always that way, I don't know. I mean, this is a great home field environment. And I just think it's cyclical, quite frankly. But I think that it's been accentuated this last year because of what's going on with the pandemic and the fact that you can't do anything when you go on the road.
Yeah, that's a fair point, yeah.
Tom, real quick before we let you go, and again, thank you so much for joining us before today's broadcast over there at the ballpark. Hey, you know, broadcast partner for a long time, my man right here, Greg Murphy. How excited were you to find out that Murph was coming back on as a teammate of yours? I know he's on the radio side of things now, but I heard the round table the other night with all of you guys getting on him, especially LA. What's the feel like with you know, within the broadcast team, knowing that this guy is you know, he's back there with you guys again? I know you guys got to be excited.
Zach, thanks for reading that question. Well, I handed you. I appreciate that.
You know, Chris, I mean, Murph knows how I feel about him. I mean, he's one of my best friends, and has been. And, you know, it was very difficult for all of us, when, you know, we knew that he wasn't coming back this year. So to get the news that he was in a different capacity, but still back with us, and part of our, what does Wheels call it, Murph? Our clown show? What is it? Our clown
car? I think that's what he's, yes.
our clown car. And he means that in the nicest possible way.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, it depends on the day. But, you know, I think it's, you know, I think all of us had the same reaction. So, you know, we're excited about it. We're excited that he's around. We're excited that his role could potentially grow. Yeah, I mean, it's a fit. You know, we for years have always tried to, you know, to maintain this sort of this group that we have because we like being around each other. And I think that's, you know, I think people realize that when they see us not only on the air, hear us on the air, but also see us out in public too.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom, and we really appreciate you being on with us here on the Baseball Brunch. Always good to hear you during the games, but certainly good to hear you before the game as well. I know you got work to do. Go get prepared for today's rubber match between the Cardinals and the Phils, and I'll see you over there at the ballpark, all right?
All right, boys. Be good.
Thanks again, Tom.
Tom McCarthy, the voice of the Philadelphia Phillies, and great to have him on. You talk about a guy that that just knows the game of baseball. Tom McCarthy knows the game of baseball, played it at a high level. His one son is a professional ball player. And, you know, he's been around the game for a long time. He's an outstanding play-by-play man, but he certainly knows the game as well as anybody, too.
He's a Swiss Army knife of sorts, too, because he does NFL, he does college basketball. Thank you again, Tom, for joining us. And anytime, Tom is always welcome on the show.
Sure.
I want to kind of dive into what you were talking about because we were texting about it the other day. You know, because we have a few minutes here left in this segment before our last segment of the show. Being back at the ballpark on Friday night,
I was there as a fan. You were there back as an employee. How special it was for both of us in different contexts. Why don't you tell me a little bit about how, you know, like the nerves, how you were feeling being back in the broadcast booth at the ballpark? Any special moments that stuck out to you? You know, like I see the smile on your face. Like, how was it for you to be back in the ballpark as a broadcaster?
Well, you know, it's funny because so I had gone back on the first homestand and I had been in the press box just kind of watching the games. Covering the game. You know, for our show and for my podcast, it's just to be back and get a feel for the fans back in the ballpark, all of that. But yeah, then I got the call that, hey, you know, we want you back. We need you on the radio. My first opportunity was in between the doubleheader during the away game with the Mets, and that was my first opportunity on the air. I didn't even have a chance to really think about it and get nervous because they called me the night before and said, hey, we could really use you. I knew I was coming in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to do the pre and post, but they needed someone to do the rain delay. So, you know, you get behind the microphone, and I'm looking at an empty field at Citizens Bank Park, but, you know, I'm hearing Scott and Kevin Franzen calling the game, and you kind of get right back to it, and you kind of fall right back into it. And you know, I couldn't help but take a moment and think to myself, wow, okay. You know, I didn't miss a season. You know, 2020 was what it was, and now we're in 2021, and I was really hoping to be a part of it, and I was. And I guess when the fans got back again on Friday, and I was getting ready for the pregame show, looking around, talking to some fans outside the booth, and you know, that's when you just start to really think about how lucky you are to be in that situation. And I told Matt Gelbis of The Athletic the other day, I don't think I ever took for granted what I had with NBC over the last 20 years and the opportunities that I was given. So when it went away, I knew that I had made the most of it, but you miss it for sure. So for it to be back is awesome. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
looking forward to it.
I hear you, Murph. You know, real quick before we do your live read, it was special for me to be back in there, especially because Citizens Bank Park has become a second home to me over the years. And you know, I used to be down there 50, 60 times a season, just as a fan. And to walk back in through those gates and to be able to go to my seat and look out at the field with the players on it, and you know, you had the national anthem was really where I got kind of welled up, like wow, I'm back. And then that second inning when the explosion happened with the six runs, and you're able to yell and cheer and get into it, and you're high-fiving your buddies and your wife, and it was a special time to be back at the ballpark. I can't wait. I have tickets again tomorrow night, so awesome. I'm already jonesing to be back down there, or back down here. So it's going to be a great time. But you know, anytime I could be around baseball and talk about baseball, I just feel like talking about Bucks County baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Bucks County Baseball Company is a proud sponsor of Baseball Brunch with Greg Murphy and Chris Sack. Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectible retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location to see their incredible selection. Unique vintage sports items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and so much more. So you can visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website's even bigger. Check out Bucks County Baseball Company when you get the chance.
Sounds great. And we are, again, this is Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS-AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley. We'll be right back right after this.
Murph?
No.
You remind me after the game to kick Murph's ass. I think he deserves it.
I'll remind you. You got to catch me first.
Well, that ain't happening, buddy.
Give me a two-step head start and I'll just start walking.
Two-step head start, man. You're pulling away.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Wow, that's a good one.
Our good friends, Tom McCarthy and John Kruk, I'd love for you to get him on the show at some point. I love you.
Careful
John
what
Kruk.
You wish for.
No,
trust
hey,
me.
Hey, hey. He's also a big wrestling fan. Welcome back.
Oh, huge.
Welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Alongside my co-host, Greg Murphy, I'm Chris Sack from Green Legion Radio, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, and WDAS around the rest of the city. For those of you that are keeping track at home, this is the segment here, our final segment of the show, and we do our Sunday picks,
yep.
FanDuel picks. And so I'd like to update the standings right now, as Murph has taken a one-game lead on me. We both had rainouts last week. And real quick, you know, I don't really have a segue for this one, but hey, those of you that are looking to travel this year for Eagles games, make sure you guys do it as a part of the Green Legion. Baseball Brunch is part of the Green Legion Radio and Green Legion family. Remember, while our radio shows are growing by leaps and bounds, the bread and butter of the family is the experience you have with us when the Eagles or Phillies hit the road. We currently have a Fenway package from July 9th through the 12th on the website. We are gearing up for an incredible Eagles road schedule, which will include Las Vegas, Denver, Dallas, Atlanta, Carolina, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and even a trip to the Dominican Republic for an awesome watch party weekend, either over the bye week or when we play the Giants. Go to greenlegion.com or contact the office at 215-666-5940, or you can call Quimby directly at I'm not going to do that.
I was a bit ready to copy it down.
Yeah, I was just about to put it down. But hey, this is our segment right here, yep, for the picks. Again, Murph went 1-1 last week. He's 3-2 on the season. I went 0-2, and I am 2-3 on the season. I know I lost you guys money last week. I apologize. Again, both of us had a rain out last week as well. So three betting lines on Sunday's Major League Baseball ticket that we like: money line, run line, over under, run totals. Listen, I am back to redeem myself this week, so I am coming in strong here, Murph.
All right, let me hear your first one.
I'm coming for you. Listen, Madison Bumgarner has become the first portion of his name. He's become a bum. I am going to take the Nationals taking 3 out of 4 at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks with Steven Strasburg on the hill. Cash in the Nationals at -200 on your ticket, Murph.
Yeah, I like that pick, and you know, you had said before the show, you also don't think that Arizona and Washington are on that, you know, split level, like each take two out of a series kind of thing. And I totally agree with you. I looked at that one. I like that pick, so I think you're in good shape with that one. All right, I went with the Dodgers and the Padres, Trevor Bauer and Blake Snell. Dodgers are -125. The Dodgers are 13-2. 13-2 right now.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. You know, you knew they were a great team coming in. 13-2. That's saying something. And I think the Padres are a little punch drunk at this point. I mean, they're playing good baseball, but man, the Dodgers are just showing them that they are a tick above. So I'm taking the Dodgers to sweep out the Padres. It's Bauer over Snell. Dodgers -25. I'll lay it out.
Awesome. Sounds great. I'm actually going to add that to my ticket today because Murph is the one that's in the lead. So I got to make sure I make some money before I leave.
There you go.
I'm going to go with the Yankees at -260 against the Rays to avoid the sweep.
Okay.
And Gerrit Cole's on the mound today. Somebody has to stop the bleeding for the Yankees. The Yankees are in sole possession of the worst record in the American League for the first time since April 4th, 1998. That is incredible. That's over 23 years ago, Murph.
Yeah.
So I do not see the Yankees being swept today. I know we all hope the Yankees get swept because none of us like the Yankees. So, but I have to say that right there, I'm putting it on my ticket this week. Go ahead and endorse it, Murph, because I know you like it too, and you're the one that actually is beating me in the standings.
Well, you know what? I'm going to stick with that game. So I guess in a way, I am going to endorse it because I agree with your logic on that. It makes complete sense. You know, Gerrit Cole, arguably 1, 2, 3 best pitchers in baseball. Certainly he's in the top three. And he was real good his last outing. I expect him to be good again today. Andrew Kitteridge is on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays. Here's what I like. I like the under in this game. The number's 8. So I like the Yanks and the Rays to kind of be seeing good pitching today, not score a whole lot of runs. I like the Yankees to win this game. I look at it like 5-2, so I'm taking the under on 8.
And my last pick here, I look at it like this: we have been riding the Orioles the last couple Sundays for the over.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, so I had the Orioles and the Red Sox 2 weeks ago. You had the Orioles. Was it again the Red Sox last week?
I think it was.
Yeah, because Pivetta was pitching for the Red Sox.
Right.
So I'm going to ride the wave here, Murph. Orioles Rangers over 7.5 runs. I don't think either of those teams are all that good. I do see runs being scored. And I'll tell you what, this is a line that sticks out to me, Murph. This is not one of my official picks. But Marcus Stroman is on the hill today for the Mets in Colorado. And the over-under for that game, which you would think would be pretty low, because Stroman's looked good in his first couple starts. Maybe that's just because our lineup is overly aggressive and he knows how to pitch them. 10.5 is the over-under in Colorado today. I know it's Colorado, but 10.5 runs, you know, that is really high for me, and I think that's going to hit the over. That's so, the reason why. Did you look at that one, too?
I did, and it's funny because I just thought you were going to say that you thought it was going to be under, and I was gonna disagree. I agree with you. That line tells me that they're going to get hit around.
I think
today.
It should be 9. Like, like, in all reality, I think that's like a 9, 9.5. Yeah. 10.5 with Stroman on the hill, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
There's going to be some offense in that game.
Stroman's been good this year, and again, mostly against this Phil's lineup, which is a little bit surprising to me. I don't expect Stroman to be able to keep it up, so that's a bonus pick on your part. All right, I'm going to do something that I rarely do, and that is look at the line for the Phillies game this week. Phil's and Cardinals.
Can you do this as a broadcaster for the Phillies?
Yeah, I think I can, right?
I'm not laying a bet down.
Now
you're Phillies broadcaster again. I don't want former Phillies broadcaster again, okay? Yeah. So I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
For amusement purposes only, here's what I think. I love the Phils in this one. They're heavy favorites. They're -172. So somebody in Vegas is enjoying what they're seeing out of Aaron Nola and the Phils, at least what they think they're going to see today. Over-under is 8 on this. I think the Phils win today's game. So I say give me the Phillies. I'll lay the juice, and that's what I'm seeing.
Sounds great. But
once again, for amusement purposes.
Amusement
only.
Purposes.
Yeah. He's for me, anyway.
He's walking past the kiosk on the way out of the casino today.
That's
all right?
Right.
So he's not placing that bet. Now, we have 5 minutes left in the show, and this is one of my favorite segments that we do every single week. Can you believe it? This is two things that both Murph and myself we found interesting over the course of the last week. Murph, why don't you go ahead and you start out with your first one and then kick it over to me.
Yeah, all right. You know, it's funny because there's so many things to pick from, I thought, in baseball this week. But I went with two things that happened yesterday, in yesterday's games. And I didn't even take the triple play from Joey Votto, which was a fun moment in baseball, of course. Always love a triple play. I went with, can you believe Jacob DeGrom against the Rockies? So he comes out in the second inning. He lets two runners on, a walk and a base hit to start the inning in the second. Then he strikes out the side in the second. Then he strikes out the side in the third. Then he strikes out the side in the fourth. 9 straight strikeouts for Jacob DeGrom. The major league record is 10, held by Tom Seaver, who they're honoring this year, the New York Mets are. So he comes back out in the fifth with the fifth to get an opportunity, and the leadoff batter gets safe on an error, and then he strikes out the next guy to make it 10 out of the last 11.
14 overall in a 7-inning game.
And surprisingly, the Mets kind of supported them, and they won the game, too. So can you believe Jacob DeGrom? Unbelievable. 9 straight. I will not be shocked if we see him do 10 straight at some point.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt. This one right here, can you believe this? Courtesy of our good friend Ryan Spader, I guess we found out over the course of the week.
He's good
friends with you, and I follow him on Twitter. So we had Carlos Rodon the other night pitch the second no-hitter of the season, okay? 3 pitchers have lost a perfect game in the 9th inning by hitting a batter. So he lost the perfect game in the 9th inning by hitting a pitcher. Go ahead.
Scherzer did it a couple years ago.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, so Scherzer, June 20th, 2015. The other one was back in 1908. You remember him, too?
Before my time.
Okay, July 4th, 1908, Hooks Wiltse.
Oh, good old Hooks.
Right-hander,
right?
Hooks Wiltse sounds like a guy that would definitely love a good brunch.
I think he would.
But all 3 pitchers went on to complete the no-hitter. Wiltse did so in 10 innings. Can you believe that? Kudos to Carlos Rodon.
All right, I love it. How about if you haven't done it already, as soon as this program is over, I want everyone to pick up their phones, and I want you to Google Mookie Betts catch. Because did you see the catch that Mookie Betts made to end the Dodgers-Padres game?
First thing I saw on Twitter this morning.
Absolutely unbelievable. In a moment that the Padres had a chance to get back in this game against the Dodgers, Mookie Betts tears their heart out by making a diving catch in right center field.
Actually, it's playing on the TVs behind us.
Yeah. All right. So if you
perfect
were here,
timer,
if you had come to watch the show, you'd be able to see it right now. But it was absolutely unbelievable. It actually rolled up into the heel of his mitt, but he was able to put his bare hand on it to keep it in the glove. Just a tremendous catch from a tremendous player. Great players make great plays at great times, and he certainly did that last night.
Absolutely. And then my last one is Cardinals have hit a home run at Citizens Bank Park in 17 straight games.
Yeah.
Most in Citizens Bank Park history. The Dodgers are at 16 straight. at Citizens Bank Park, so they might be able to tie them. Hopefully, Nola keeps them in the yard today, and that doesn't stretch to 18. Courtesy of Ricky Batalico on Twitter yesterday. And also, can you believe this? The Green Legion Radio is blowing out Adam Kaplan on the Crossing Broad Eagles Media. All right, the field of 64.
Yeah.
We've taken down the likes of Ike Reese and Derek Gunn and Jimmy Kemsky, and I'm trying to think of it, and Sal Palantonio.
Wow.
And we are looking to advance to the finals on Monday, so make sure you guys go to Crossing Broad and vote for Green Legion Radio. Right now, 2,100 votes to 446. Adam Kaplan is going downtown.
Can
Charlie
you believe
Brown.
It? I believe it.
So let's take a little bit of a look at the week ahead, Murph, because we do have, I think, 1 minute left here, and we got to get you out of here and get you over to the pregame show. The Phillies this week, we had the finale today against the Cardinals with Nola on the hill, three at home against the Giants. I'm not going to mention who the manager is because I've brought him up the first
Thank
three
you.
Shows. So I'm doing this for you, Murph, and then hitting the road. We're off on Thursday, and then we have three in Colorado. What are your thoughts on this upcoming week, Murph? What do you think is going
to
get done?
Well, look, the Phils have to continue to be good at home. Win the series today against the Cardinals. That's what you need to do. You've got Aaron Nola on the hill. Go ahead and do that. And then, you know, here come the Giants to town playing pretty good baseball. They're above 500. I think they're 8-6 or something like that coming in to Citizens Bank Park. So, you know, the manager, Gabe Kapler, has them playing well. But
you said it, not me.
You got to take care of business at home before you head out to Colorado. Who knows what will happen in Colorado? Anything can happen out there.
Know.
So win at home at Citizens Bank. Let's see them win both series. I'll take that. Let's see them win both series.
Well, for those of you that are in attendance and for those of you listening at home, thank you again for tuning in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, again on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley. And like Jay Bruce, just retiring, we are out. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your Sunday and weekend, and we will see you all down here at Sports and Social in South Philadelphia again next Sunday. Have a great day.
Remind me after the game to kick Murph's ass.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center highlight how respiratory viruses like COVID harm the heart. Here's Rasa Kay.
COVID-19 can cause white blood cells to rush into heart muscle, causing inflammation called myocarditis, according to Deborah Heart and Lung Center Chair of Cardiology, Dr. Vincent Pompili, who says in some lucky patients, the heart will heal with no scar tissue.
The worst scenario is severe myocarditis, where the heart muscle just weakens so severely that you have developed severe congestive heart failure or cardiogenic shock, where your heart pump no longer works, and you may not survive unless you are evaluated for some type of support system.
And Dr. Pompili says while heart failure can take years to develop in many patients, in severe COVID patients, it can come on within days. Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.